Coming to you from Redondo Beach, California and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 25 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show with your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my buddy, my co-patriot, my friend, Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. How you doing, Adam?
Wow, there's been a break, and anyway, we'll get to that. So I'm good. How are you this morning?
Oh, so good. So good. I'm so excited to be recording this show with you again. It's been a while.
It's been, wait, actually, do we know how long it has been? We're going to apologize right now. I'm going to put it out there. So sorry, long break. But the break is because of life. And right now, in the update section of what's going on with us, we can reveal, obviously, what's happened. So real quick, how long of the break has it been? Let's go to the Get Options Podcast website. The last show was July 31st. 2017. So all of August and not quite half of September. Okay. So, but we're back and we're here to answer your questions. So send them back in. We can always use questions. Mm-hmm. More to have in the queue, the better. Anyway, so what is
new?
We're back to work. What's new in your part of the world?
Oh my goodness. A lot of stuff has happened since the last time we recorded, but we kind of took turns here with the major life events,
right,
resulting in an inability to sit in our little studios at home. Maybe you should go first because your life change occurred before mine.
It did. Okay. So if you heard the opening, our bumper, it says, you know, from the studio live from Redondo Beach, California and Jackson, Michigan. Well, half of that is incorrect. The half that on my end, I'm no longer in Redondo Beach, as you know. I am now on the same time zone as you. And then people say, why did you move to the East Coast? It's because I wanted this to be easier to record. And of course, that got messed up with your life change. So I am now living in Cary, North Carolina. My entire family moved back on the 21st. We moved in on the house on the 21st of August. And for the, you know, 2 weeks prior to that, I was packing, drove a car across the country. Yeah, that's my life change. And here we are. East Coast.
I'm sure that people have lots of questions, so let me shoot you with the FAQs real quick so you can answer them on the show. First question, why Cary, Indiana? I know that it seems pretty random, I also know that the truth is it's Cary,
North Carolina.
Cary, North Carolina. Gary, Indiana. That's right. What I was thinking. but it seems like such a random destination. You don't have roots there or any real tie to the town. It seems pretty random. What's the brief story behind why you ended up there?
Oh, I lost a bet. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, because my wife is, as people may or may not know from this show, I don't know if they know on this show, my wife started a new career back in January. She is now a flight attendant for JetBlue Airlines. That's JetBlue, not Jet Black and Blue. And thank you. Do I have a sound effect for that one yet? I don't think I do. Okay. She was based in Boston, and we lived in Los Angeles, and that commute was killing us all as a family. A six-hour commute to be in Boston on standby for six to nine months, you know, you're on reserve kind of thing. So being on the East Coast makes that much easier. You know, it's a 90-minute flight. We're 10 minutes to the airport. And this airport here, RDU, is awesome. It's easy to get in and out. We were 10 minutes away from LAX, but once you got to LAX, it took half an hour or longer to get through LAX. So always, it's under construction for the next, like, six years. Anyway, so really, to be closer to my wife's work, cost of living and quality of life. I mean, SoCal in the Redondo Beach area, where I'm born and raised, I like it, love it. One aspect, the other aspect I don't. It's really expensive. So that's kind of the FAQ.
Yeah. Well, the other question would be, given your new relocation, is your allegiance going to change to the Tar Heels and Panthers?
Ooh. Wow. Panthers, no. I'm going to retain my 49ers affiliation for NFL.
Just keep holding on.
Yeah.
Holding on.
We'll come back eventually. And as well as the Lakers and the Dodgers, I believe, at the moment. Football and basketball. I mean, so my first allegiance for teams is still going to be my alma mater, San Diego State, who beat Arizona State University just last night, 30-20. So we're 2-0. We won on the road. So the Aztecs, go Aztecs. But there is no SDSU Alumni Association out here, which I'm kind of bummed about. Maybe I'll start one.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So as far as UNC or Duke or the other like dozen schools in the area, I don't know. We'll see where my kids wind up as far as if they stay in state for college and like, you know, two and four years and 6 years respectively. And
then it's really coming up.
It is. So, Yeah. So if you're looking for a freelance or a contract work, I mean, if you're looking to hire a company to do development work, let me know. I'm looking for college funds. All right. So you, what's your FAQ? What made you miss week upon week upon week of, the second half of the 6 weeks? What made you miss that?
That's true. We missed a few weeks because you were relocating and that was big investment, totally fine. But as soon as you were done and settled in a new house, boom.
Yeah.
I got hit with a pretty significant life change.
What's your life change?
Well, my wife and I have been married for 8 years. We have wanted children since day one. Mm-hmm. And our wishes kind of came true just last week. We adopted a beautiful baby girl.
Nice.
And so now I'm a first time father.
Awesome. Congratulations, Mazel Tov, L'chaim, all that. Yeah. Have you? Because I know when I saw her, I cried. Have you cried? I haven't seen you cry yet.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, maybe
there's been a lot of emotions.
It'll come up again and again and again. You know, and then like it's been how long? It's been a week. Week and a half?
She's 12 days old. 12,
yeah. Yeah. So just so you know, I think when my daughter was born, I had that realization of like, oh my gosh, I'm a dad. And then about, you know, 12 days later, so about now, you'll get the realization, oh my gosh, I have a daughter.
It's pretty amazing.
Or a son. It doesn't really matter, but it's something different about girls and boys. But yeah, it's pretty special. So very happy for you guys, for both of you, for all three of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's the updates on the on life changes. Let me tell you, that's a big deal for both of us.
Right. I hope these serve as legitimate excuses for missing a few weeks of the show.
Yeah. So no more moving for me at the moment. any more unexpected people moving in?
Let's just say no for now.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay. All right. Cool. So, hey, what's new and updates in the WordPress space? What do you got?
Oh my goodness. There's a lot of news. The biggest, man, it's been a few weeks since our show. And back then, there's a big topic of discussion, but just the surprises, you know, nobody's talking about Gutenberg.
I know.
Like I mean, nobody's blogging about it anymore. It's kind of died out.
Yeah.
It's basically forgotten at this point.
And even Steve Gutenberg is like it's disappeared off the face of the map almost.
Yeah, obviously we're joking.
Completely.
We in the WordPress community are completely overwhelmed and inundated from every direction with stuff about Gutenberg.
It's coming out in 5.0, isn't it? Isn't that what Matt said?
Yeah, that's Matt's plan.
Right.
And so far, you and I think we're the last ones. We are in the entire WordPress community of thousands and thousands of people. We're the last people who haven't written an opinion piece about Gutenberg yet. I'm holding out on that because every single other person has written some opinion piece because for some reason, everyone feels compelled to share their view on what Gutenberg is all about and what WordPress is doing wrong and what the future looks like.
Let me stop you right there because actually you don't know this, but I have this prepared. I'm going to go ahead and slow jam my Gutenberg piece. Oh, Gutenberg, you are going to replace all pages. I'm just kidding. I don't have anything. I got nothing.
Jeez. So we rant and grumble a little bit, I guess, because at this point it feels like this is getting a little ridiculous. We've talked before and commented about how there's some new hotness, some new fun topic that dominates each year, it seems. When Calypso came out, it's like every article was about Calypso. We got sick of hearing about it eventually. And then when the REST API became like this official thing that's going to happen, oh my goodness, no one would stop talking about it. It's really cool. It's really exciting. And then eventually we get tired of hearing about it.
Right.
This, we are so far past that with Gutenberg. It's a cool initiative and it's really important. But everyone is sharing their opinion.
Except you and me.
Big time. Yeah. We are hearing so every other article, not even every other article, like 4 out of 5 articles written now about WordPress.
It's like, you might be too young. Do you even remember I don't know if you had TV as a kid, but growing up on the farm. But, 4 out of 5 dentists, there used to be that kind of joke. So now it's like 4 out of 5 WordPress developers have an opinion about Gutenberg, or approve or deny. So there's a shirt to be made there. I might have to head over Printful and get a shirt. 4 out of 5 web developers say X about Gutenberg,
I think we are going to break the mold a little bit and not even talk about it.
No, I
don't even feel like talking about it. If someone asks a question on the show about Gutenberg, we'll answer it.
Okay.
We'll deal with it. But right now, the world doesn't need more voices, more talking heads commenting on this project.
Okay. So let's move on. What's the second piece of news? I saw that you put in the show notes there, but I didn't have a chance to look. I didn't even notice this one. Transparency Automatic has an article here. Let me see here. Something about, transparency. Shining the light on the national security letter. So back in July, I guess this was written by Paul Semensky. Do you want to tell us about it? Because honestly, I'm unaware of this.
Oh, you've had enough time to read the article at this point.
I just didn't see it. You're right. It's been there. I guess I didn't notice it.
Right. There was a lot of news in our last episode, and this one got punted to episode 25. But it's an article that Automatic published back in July, as you said, where they disclosed the story around how they deal with inquiries from the federal investigations. They're called NSLs. That's like national security letters, maybe?
Okay. Not leaks. Yeah. National Security Letters. NSL stands for National Security Letters. Correct.
Right. This occurs. These letters serve the purpose of as a request for access to information.
Kind of like when the news organizations request information from the government. Same kind of thing, right? Freedom of Information Act, I think.
Yeah. Freedom of Information. Yeah. And so sometimes the government will request for national security purposes access to information from Automatic for relating to account holders on WordPress.com.
Okay.
And Automatic has described in this article how they respond to those requests.
Okay.
And describes in detail what some of those requests have been without naming specific names or usernames or accounts, but just has published those letters, what their contents are, with just certain identifying information redacted.
Right. I'm looking at one right now. So there's samples of what they've shared with the government. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So on kind of a routine basis, Automatic gets these inquiries saying, for national security purposes, we need access to some information about an account holder.
Interesting.
And it's very interesting to just read about how Automatic deals with this. Lots of tech companies like Automatic receive these kinds of inquiries. We just don't normally hear about how they're addressed. Automatic is committed to transparency.
Right.
They have a whole blog called Transparency. Devoted to these kinds of topics.
The one I just looked up has the first line there. Something about Jason Bourne. Weird.
That is weird. Yeah, so that's just something to read about if you're curious. I find this stuff fascinating, and there's not a lot of tech companies that are quite so transparent about this topic.
Right. Okay. Cool. So, we'll link to that in the show notes if you guys want to learn more about Automatic's take on transparency with the federal government. Okay. Last thing in the news here, fundraiser. Did you know about this? I added this late, but my buddy David Blackmon over at the Divi. I don't know, Divi something, Divi.chat. He puts up something together last week to help Hurricane Harvey folks out of Texas. He is a digital nomad, much like John Brown. He lives out of a RV or a fifth wheel, I think, actually. Have you met David? Do you know David?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He's such a fun guy.
He really is. So he put something together. He got a lot of people to donate to products and services. And if you donate $50, 100% of all profits go back to it's going to be transparent. Speaking of transparency, on where that money's going to go to help people. And it's over at divi.chat/hurricane-harvey-donations. I'll link to that in the show notes. But it's pretty amazing what you get for like a minimum $50. It really is. I mean, if you're looking to help or if you're a Divi person, there's a lot more Divi services there because that's what his knowledge baselines business is based around, but there's some other services like WP 101, other great opportunities there as well, so check it out. And I'll put a link in the show notes. Very nice of him to lead that. Now, of course, we have Hurricane Irma. So maybe we'll do another one. I don't know, for Florida, right? So we'll see.
Yeah.
And speaking of Irma, I lucked out. I mean, I'm here in North Carolina, and it looks like it's going to go completely away from us. So I was actually kind of getting some batteries, flashlights, bottled water, and looks like I lucked out this time.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. You moved to the East Coast right before hurricane season.
Right. Apparently I didn't get that memo.
Continental US is getting just beat up. Getting hammered.
I mean, Los Angeles area has these fires going on right now. You know, so yeah, it's crazy. But there's a drought out there still. That's not making it any better for sure.
Right. You are experiencing something new.
Right.
And it's a little thing called rain.
Rain, man. Yeah. Well, I've seen more rain in the 20 days I've been here than I did all last year probably. Anyway, all right. So, hey, Kyle, what you wearing? What you drinking? What you reading?
Jeez. Right now, sipping on some coffee in a Game of Thrones mug, and I am wearing an Apply Filters t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Apply Filters is another podcast about WordPress, hosted by Piven and Brad.
There's another podcast about WordPress? No.
And it's the only other one, and it's number two.
Hey, yeah. Okay, yeah. Go on.
It's good. So applyfilters.fm to check out their podcast. And I've also, it's a little bit chilly today, so I have a Mojo Marketplace hoodie. And of course, today is the season opener, so I'm wearing my Green Bay Packers hat.
Nice.
Go Pack, go.
I am, not that you asked, hold on, let me write that down here. Green Bay Packers should lose today. Lose. Okay. All right. I'm drinking coffee, which I thought was fresh. Apparently, it's not. And it's just in a normal Starbucks cup. I mean, no, it's from my house. That's the problem. I made my own pot of coffee. I actually have no WordCamp shirt on or no WordPress-related shirt because I went for a nice long walk this morning and then did some stuff in the garage. I'm still unpacking boxes. So I did about an hour's worth of work in the garage and thinking that you wouldn't show up for this recording. So I was like, oh, I'll shower later and put on my new outfit for the day. But that hasn't happened. But I am reading a crap load of books. I want to share that because I think it's important and I'm working on the focus stuff. So I'm reading 3 books right now. Literally, simultaneously. Well, not all the same exact moment. I'm rereading The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. I might have mentioned that before. Reading Deep Work by Cal Newport and Snowball. It's a biography about snowballs. No, it's a biography about not Frosty the Snowman. Warren Buffett. Fascinating. So,
that's cool.
I think these are all kind of good reads. So, there you go.
Those sound like good books.
Thanks.
I've been reading a book about fatherhood and parenting.
Go figure.
Yeah, speed reading because we had very short notice before our daughter arrived.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, Kyle, guess what?
It's time to talk about people on the move.
Oh, you're right. Dang it. I always do that again. Okay, who's on the move?
Just a couple of people that we came up with. One a few months ago, but we didn't talk about it. Somehow we missed it.
Oh, yeah.
Unless I forgot. But our good friend, Brad Barbs, left his job at an agency to work with HumanMade as a senior engineer.
Right.
Yeah. Brad's an awesome guy, fantastic developer, and couldn't be happy for him. I hear just the greatest things about working for HumanMade.
You know, I've heard the opposite about him. I've heard that his code base is... No, I'm kidding. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
And HumanMade, I've heard the same, that working there is nice. Maybe... No, I'm not going to work there. I'm probably not qualified.
Yeah. They recently open sourced their company... handbook, policies, and just everything about working there. It's a pretty cool resource. So, I would check that out.
Cool.
And the other person who just got a new job, our friend Corey Moss.
Do I know Corey Moss? I know so many Corys.
You met him in Boston a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah. I do know him. Yeah, you're right.
Right. Yeah. He has the Kanban WP plugin.
Right.
He's a great developer. He just got a job at an agency. He also appeared on my WP Roundtable interview show a couple weeks back. And we talked about his many different projects.
Cool.
So he's a cool guy. Congrats to him on getting a cool new developer job.
Yeah, very cool. All right. So I think that's it. Now I can go ahead and say, hey, Kyle, guess what?
What?
It's questions time. Yay! That's right, people. You sent them in probably a long time ago. We read them. We we researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Woohoo! Let's go. It's questions time. Yeah, good times. All right, so I'm going to ask you the first one. You ready?
Hit me with it.
All right, question is from Ian. Where do I draw the line between, quote, this could grow into a profitable relationship and, or end quote, and then, and quote, I'm not going to reach to work with people budget-wise, end quote.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love this question because, you don't always anticipate these sorts of situations when you're getting started, but they absolutely arise all the time. All the time, where you get these clients and you're faced with this kind of dilemma because you know that working with this client has great potential for the future. Mm-hmm. In the long term, this could pay out between, but getting great connections, a great brand in your portfolio, lots of future work if things work out. But in the short term, it's not great. So is it worth you going through this short-term period of not getting paid well in order to, you know, get the return later?
Right.
That's the tricky dilemma that we find. Have you been in that situation before?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You mean just even being friends with you?
Jeez.
You missed it. You missed me, didn't you?
Oh, so much.
I'm actually looking at the time real quick, and I'm just like amazed to see you awake this early. Anyway, go on. So,
jeez. Yeah. Well, I've been doing the night shift thing, but I'm up and I'm excited. And when it comes to these situations, I think there's a lot for us to keep in mind, but I think we can learn a lot of lessons from others. One of the, you know, do you ever watch Game of Thrones?
Nope.
I know you don't. Yeah. I think you, it seems like you watched, you stopped watching like good shows.
I don't
like
have cable.
In the early 60s
I don't
or something.
Have, oh.
Yeah. I don't.
Bewitched
don't
was
know.
My favorite. You're right. You know, I'm not that old. I watched reruns. Go on.
Yeah. Well, there's some life lessons that we can learn from great shows. In Game of Thrones, there's this custom that for territories and families that were conquered, it is customary that the conquering families and households foster children from the conquered family.
Okay.
And what this does is it creates a political situation where the conquered family has a strong, compelling reason to not go to war because their children are effectively a hostage,
right?
Being raised by their enemies who conquered them, and so there's this unique dynamic, and I think that this kind of relates to the situation with clients where we look at what the future might hold and having leverage. You know, when you think about it, and just remember that you can't predict the future. Another great show, Walter White from Breaking Bad, never would have expected that he would find himself partnering with Jesse Pinkman. And that's a relationship which seemed dubious, but turned out to be quite lucrative. Or you might relate these situations to Ehrlich Bachman from Silicon Valley, where, you know, he has a habit of partnering with every new app startup and trying to get equity, you know, just kind of like a scattershot of getting a stake in every single project. But, you know, these are good examples of those situations. Not all investments work out. There's a great episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where Will and Carlton pawn Aunt Vivian's jewelry in order to invest in stock that has potential.
Right.
And however, that stock goes south and Carlton ends up being forced into doing erotic dance performances for rich old ladies. So if that's not how you want to end up, Eden, I'd say, you know, take caution.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think we can learn a lot of lessons from these great programs.
And I think, here's the thing. I think that you will now learn that your TV watching days are over.
I've actually been watching a lot of TV.
Well, okay, for the first 6 months,
child.
Maybe, as this little girl here just, you know, eats, poops, and sleeps. But that's going to change. That's why I missed so many shows and movies back in the day. Okay, so my answer to you real quick, Ian, is not real quick, but I mean, yeah, quicker than Kyle's without so many television references, I think. It really depends. You know, where do you draw the line between will this grow or not? It depends. But I think you first need to ask yourself, what kind of line? Dotted, dashed, double, what color? I mean, there's so many colors to choose from on these lines. And also where? You know, front door, driveway, street, sidewalk. Is it an invisible line or proverbial line? You know, it just, I like to think things on the esoteric level before I, you know, get into the answer. So think about those things first. And then honestly, I wasn't quite sure I understood the question when I first read it. When you said reaching, do you mean reaching down, like lower your rates? And I think obviously that's what he did mean. If that's the case, then it comes down to dollars and cents. You know, it's, is it a project you want to work on? Because that's something that is sometimes more important than the actual money. Right. Working merely for money is, I think, a quick way to be discouraged sometimes, especially if you aren't seeing the payoff right away. And if you do take a low rate, if you agree to that, do you have an agreement that you can step away to in case a larger project that's more lucrative comes along? So maybe if you're taking less money, take no money. Be a volunteer. That way they get what they pay for. Take it on as if it's a nonprofit. So it's a toughie, right? It's a toss up there. So I think, I mean, that's my answer is, you know, you have to really balance those two things out. You're right. It's tough. So.
And Ian deserves some quality insight on this question just because we've been away so long.
Yeah.
My experience has been one, like a short comment, is that the ones that have the best, purest potential are the ones you don't have to reach for.
Right.
They're with companies who like truly value you and believe deep down that you are worth a high price. Those are the ones that have like fantastic potential for the future. You know, those are the relationships you're going to love.
Right. It's the ones that you quote, you bid the project, and they just sign off right off the way based on your price. You're like, dang it, it should have added another $1,000. Because you don't know. You never know, right? That's the worst. So I don't think you should reach down. I think you need to ask the question, is it worth, do you have the time that you're willing to give up in the short run? Because that's, if you say yes to this, you say no to something else.
That's true. One other thing that I was thinking about, I think an important consideration is who initiates the reaching.
True.
So is the client working hard to persuade you that it'll be worth your while in the long run?
Red flag.
Or
that's a red flag.
Are they being realistic and telling you that they don't have the budget currently? In a situation where a prospect is upfront with you and says they can't afford your full offering or don't have the budget this year, and you decide to offer them something special because you want to work with them.
Right.
That's acceptable.
I actually have
If it is initiated by the client, I would advise politely passing almost every time.
And I have that exact situation right now. I bid a job 2 years ago. I think it's 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years ago, coming up this December. It's a church. They wanted a total rewrite, everything new. I bid it. It was high. Haven't heard back. And actually, it's not true. I finally heard back from somebody within the church group who I know. Actually, you know him too. Costa Rica trip. But now we probably need to do new discovery, new scope, because things have changed and the whole board of directors have changed, etc. But yeah, I really want to help them, but I'm not willing to reach that low, you know, at the moment. For what they wanted, I cannot build them what they need unless they want to re-everything the whole project. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, I have the time, but I sets a precedent also, and I don't feel comfortable doing that.
So what are situations where one might be incentivized to initiate some sort of special offer of where, you know, you're my client and I say, hey, I know you said you don't have the budget and you might next year, or you're trying to get special funding or fundraise to get, or you want to do a portion of the project because it's all you can afford. I want to give you a special deal. Why would I ever say that? Well, one example is in my experience with our agency, I learned to appreciate the value of recognizable brands in my portfolio.
Right, right.
That is pretty powerful. We worked for years exclusively with clients whom no one has heard of.
Right.
Small local businesses, B2B companies, obscure organizations, great clients, but no household names. But things changed pretty dramatically when we finally closed a few clients which people have heard of, most notably like a local college and a zoo,
right,
which were household names. And we ended up effectively name dropping them fairly often in our online presence or in right. conversations.
And that makes a big difference. That's the point where yes, because then it takes you up to the next level, and you get the better projects anyways. Right.
Yeah. It sets expectations, establishes your credibility. People right. don't want to take risks. And if you have completed successful projects with brands your prospect recognizes, they'll consider you less risky.
I mean, honestly, that's why I built the Apple website for so cheap.
Good job.
Thanks.
Good job, by the way. I don't tell you enough how good you do. But the only other thing that I would add to that note is those particular brands that were awesome to include in our portfolio, we didn't have to reach for because they respected our expertise paid us a fair rate and thought it was great.
But you would have, but you very well would have or could have considered working with them over the long term because you knew that having them in your portfolio would be helpful.
We did put in that extra effort because we wanted those brands in our portfolio.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. I think that's a great answer. I think that's the takeaway right there. So, okay. Moving on to question two.
Right on, Adam. This is a great question. And a little bit of a tricky one.
Yes, it is.
It comes to us from our good friend, Dustin Hartzler.
Not anymore.
Yeah. He's trying to start something here. His question is, which WordCamp is a better value, Ann Arbor or Los Angeles?
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, oh, man. Easy, ding, ding. Round
easy,
one.
Round one. Easy answer. This year, WordCamp Los Angeles. You know, I mean, clearly, I mean, it's LA because I'm the lead organizer. Even though I live in Cary, North Carolina, I told the team that 6 or 8 months ago when we were considering moving, I didn't think we'd be moving. I really didn't. I'm like, hey, this might happen. If it does happen, I will stay on as the lead because just walking away, punting the lead, it'd be a lot for someone else to take on. In hindsight, I should never have said those words that I would stay on because it's a lot to take on, especially during a move cross country. So I have a great team. We're going to have a great camp. We are 7 tickets from being sold out. WordCamp Los Angeles is in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. At the end of this month, 29th. 29th, 30th, and October 1st. And the team has been awesome. We're going to have a fantastic camp. You were supposed to attend as with me, and we're going to do this recording, you know, another live Get Options podcast there, but now we might just have you Skype in. We'll see. We haven't talked about that yet.
yeah.
You know, next year...
I unfortunately
year,
had to cancel that
yeah,
trip.
Right. Next year, depends on who runs it. We'll see. I mean, I'd say and right off the bat on the East Coast, I'll pick Ann Arbor for 2018. But I'm
no one says we're on the East Coast.
Oh, no, okay. Midwest, I guess. Right. So,
yeah, that's right.
It's, I mean, obviously, both camps, honestly, Dustin, both camps are fantastic. I'm not going to let you start something between the three of us.
Right. Yeah. Geez, Dustin.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you right now, they're both better than Dayton. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Which
is where we met. Where Dustin knows. I mean, we met at WordCamp Dayton, like what?
That's right.
3 years ago? 2 years ago?
Yeah, Dustin was a mutual acquaintance.
Right, you know? Right. So my answer is they're both fantastic camps. They both have value, and they have both amazing organizers and volunteers that contribute to the community and help out.
Oh, gee. I think that one...
Thanks. That's the end of the show.
there's so much fun to talk about, but I do want to be careful. I think that it is funny to me that while both camps are essentially the same size in terms of attendees, Los Angeles has 33 times the population of Ann Arbor. A little surprising to me. One would think that the largest, most populated city in America might have a larger number of attendees. Is that a venue limitation?
It is and it isn't. So yes, at the venue we've had for the past 2 or 3 years, Cal State Los Angeles, which has been great. You know, LA is really large, as you know. I mean, we've got the population's huge. The problem is that fragmentation, you know, and we have so many meetups. Word camps, in theory, are germinated from a meetup upward. So it's the word, it's the meetup of the year. It's a big meetup of the year. But like, why am I the lead of LA? Versus, because I'm not really even in the meetup, the LA meetup anymore. It's 20 miles away. I run the South Bay meetup, I used to, you know. Anyway, it's a matter of getting people to take it on. You know, I look at the team from, is it Miami? The 800 camp, 800 person camp?
Oh my goodness,
is that
yes.
David Bissett?
Yep.
He runs a great, I haven't been able to go yet, but it's a huge camp. It's big, inner people, like, and it runs really well. I really wanted to make this year's camp bigger as well at one point. I was thinking, okay, let's go to 600, 650, because again, we have that scale. We have the ability in one aspect. But what I've learned in Los Angeles, getting people to help out, step up, volunteer, and finding a venue that works, and finding, you know, affordable, just, it changes things. You know, my team is not, we doubled the team this year from, almost doubled from 5 people last year to 9. We're much more, a better range of gender, you know, all that across the board. That was my big push this year. I didn't just want four white guys again. Honestly, I just, you know, we needed to have diversity in the organizing team. We do. But I think LA is just a unique place that can it sustain a 650, 700 person camp? Maybe. It would just take I hate to say it, but I think a better support team, not better, more people. I need more people. I wasn't feeling like I was going to get that. So, you know, so I just kept it the same, you know, and it works. It does work for us because we have four. We've had this conversation offline before. California only has 4 camps for the size of the state that it is. It's kind of crazy. They're actually going to they're adding a 5th camp this year, next year. Various Benjamin III is adding a camp out in Riverside. If I was still there, I was going to add a camp to Torrance next year. But, you know, we'll see what happens. So
yeah, it is surprising that the most populated state only has 4 word camps. It is very likely that next year Michigan will have 4 word camps. Yeah. And Ohio will probably have 4 word camps.
Are we the most populous state? Or I thought that might be New York.
No, it's California.
Is it? Or Texas? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, it's a toughie. But, you know, I think, like I said, in both camps are different. I mean, camps
are
different.
Yeah, that's what I want to... I prefer focusing, instead of talking trash, more about what we choose to do differently. What's a little bit different between our two camps? There's a couple of things that stand out to me. I choose to have our word camp on Friday, Saturday.
Right.
You guys choose Saturday, Sunday.
Most of the
time. That's an interesting difference.
Yeah, we do Saturday, Sunday. This year we're doing a Friday half day for the beginner track and then Saturday, Sunday. Again, based on the venue, based on the fact that for someone to come on a Friday in Los Angeles is a big deal because of traffic and work and schedules. So that's the problem. It just changes things. That's, you know, and we're less religious.
Less
so nobody goes to church. No one has faith in on Sunday. No, I'm kidding.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we also start. Let me tell you one thing though. We actually start our camp on Sunday the same time as Saturday's start time. So 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock versus a lot of camps I've noticed start Sunday late.
That's true.
Which I don't like. I never like that for any camp. I just want to get in, get going. I don't want to start like it. I don't know. I know some camps do it because the after party goes late. People might be staying up late, singing karaoke. That's for Andy, you know. Yeah. And some people go, you know, I don't know, go to church on Sunday. That's fine. But I'd rather just kind of, I'd rather start early, have a full day track, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. The Friday, Saturday versus Saturday, Sunday word camp. That's a lot of camps kind of do it their own way. And we've always been Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And I personally like Friday, Saturday better.
Okay.
But I mean, there's a lot of compelling reasons to go with Saturday, Sunday. It's a tough decision between those two. If you're a 2-day camp. It's kind of tricky.
Well, I think the other problem, honestly, Kyle, not the problem or a concern, is on a Saturday, Sunday, you know, there's that conversation about WordPress related conferences. Weekends, you're going to get a lot of beginners and new people. Do it yourself. Midweek type of things like a Pressnomics or a LoopConf is a higher price ticket, hundreds of dollars. And it's going to be, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday kind of thing. Right. So there's that different take as well. How many people really go to a WordCamp, even let's say it was a Thursday, Friday in the States? I don't know. You know, could you justify taking a day off of work or 2 days off of work? Will your work pay for that? If you're your own employment, if you work for yourself, can you justify that? Will you justify it? Can you? Absolutely. Will you? I don't know. And for $40, I mean, it's, you know, there's those conversations that happen a couple times a year. It's tricky.
Yeah, it's a choice between two audiences. Right. And which one are we, and which are going to serve? And are we going to serve the people who are like all in, full time, employer is paying us, or this is my life, and I'm going to treat it like a professional conference, which are always during the week,
and
attend during the week.
And I think WordCamps skew towards the part time. I think they skew a little bit more towards that. Freelancer, hobbyist, part time, building something. And then what happens is, as we've seen, we start there and then you move on to a Pressonomics, a LoopConf, a Woo conference, where you're going to invest more time and money to go to increase your value, your knowledge, and what you can offer clients. So, yeah. That is where we're at as far as WordCamps go. And I don't see it changing anytime soon. I think more WordCamps are good. I know we've had the conversation with, who was it? Oh, I just interviewed her, Rachel Cherry, about more camps versus less camps. And she was kind of burnt out on all the announcements, but anyway.
Yeah. Ann Arbor has been the home of two epic WP battles.
It's true. Well, it's a good point.
Yeah, okay. Cool history there.
It is good history. Not this year.
There's a lot of fun. It's been fun organizing at the same time, honestly. A similarly sized camp, first time and second time organizing together.
Oh yeah.
And just seeing how we have different styles.
Yeah.
How do we do speaker selection? What kind of do we pay for lunch? And
right.
What sort of parties do we throw? And what gifts do we buy? And all that sort of thing.
Well, I think the speaker selection, some of that comes from I inherited. The process of that was done in LA from years past. It's hard to kind of change the mold. Okay, this is what it was expected. Not to say that it can't be. And I think hopefully I'll leave a nice letter in my office in the WordCamp LA Oval office, if you will, to the next lead, saying break the mold, do something different if you can. Lunch is a totally separate issue. LA is too spread out for us to offer lunch, and people leave campus because where Cal State LA is, it's too far. Ann Arbor downtown, you have all those restaurants.
That's true.
Speaker selections and doing more curation. I didn't know I could do that in theory. And in hindsight, it's 2020. Maybe next year. I've already been asked if I will participate in WordCamp Raleigh in some capacity, and also one down I think in South Carolina. Since I'm close now, we'll see if I can help out any which way I can. I will. I would love to mentor and help people. So anyway. I think we may have answered your question sort of a roundabout way that WordCamp LA this year, next year, A2.
I think they're both standout WordCamps. I really, truly believe that.
Yeah. So, all right. Question three. What's okay? Last question. Then we wrap this thing up. We're going a little long today only because it's been so long since we've been a show.
It's been so long. Yeah. It's not surprising. I don't think anybody's going to complain.
Nah, that's okay. All right. So question three, I'm going to ask you, right? Yeah. I'm having trouble with the ethics of working both my day job and taking on side projects. Can you help me help provide clarity in how I should be thinking about this dilemma? This is also from Ian. Ian had some great two great questions this week. So.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Ian, for the really good questions. These are fun to think about. Yeah. I spent a lot of time just like mulling over this question.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you wrote to the right show.
That's right.
Of course. Having the two of us discourage side projects would be like Scarface counseling through the D.A.R.E. program, or Bieber lecturing new musicians about the importance of appreciating your fans, or Matt Mullenweg investing in proprietary software. It would be completely hypocritical. We both have loads of side projects, too many for our own good, in fact.
I have none.
I think.
None.
No side.
All I have, the only side project I have is you as a friend. Your project.
And you're part-time comedian, I think. I've got all kinds of side projects.
Yeah.
On a few evenings and weekends, I like to spend some of my non-work time as a husband.
Wow.
And I've recently started trying the fatherhood thing out a little as well. Those are pretty cool side projects. I also have one thing going where I maintain a house here in Jackson. It's actually been a pretty good investment, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you? What are your side projects?
First of all, to provide clarity, how should he be thinking about it? First of all, don't think about it. Just quit your job. Simple. Second one, make your side projects your job. Work for yourself. And number three, make your old day job, the employer, a client. Boom. Problem solved. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. You're a genius.
Thanks. But other than my side projects are, I don't consider anything I have as a side project. I just consider everything I have as a ever non-ending, ever longer to-do list.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
But then,
you know, I mean, I enjoy reading. I mean, I've been doing more reading. You know, I love to cook. I was just actually talking to somebody, a mutual friend, Greg Franklin, saying if I could, if I won the lottery, if I sold a company, had the money, I would actually go to culinary school. I would, and then open a restaurant, you know, because I want to lose more money. you know, the old joke, how do you make a small fortune with a restaurant? Start with a large one.
Yeah.
There you go. But but honestly, my answer to this real quick is I had the same exact similar issue with my old job. The day job I had in social media, you know, prior to a year ago, it was an easy job for me. If not boring, I automated a chunk of it. I could do my 40 hours in about, what did I do it? About 10 to 12 a week. Remember those days?
I do remember. Yeah. Those were great days.
Right.
For me.
And then, of course, I could do side work at work, but it did seem odd because I'd have to keep my head, if I'm looking at code or building a site, I, you know, even though my day job was done, I was doing that gopher look, you know, that, or the prairie dog, looking up in the cubicle. You can't see me right now, but I'm like, you know, doing that cubicle, like look over the wall, like who's around.
Right.
I did some here and there. You know, my boss did his own side thing at work as well. He did his church website. He knew what I was doing. As long as my work got done, it was not a huge deal, but it always felt weird. And then I couldn't really just wait till the end of the day to go do it at home at night because I was a husband and I have kids. I'm a father as well. And I'm tired, in air quotes, because of my work day, air quotes. But my work day wasn't hard, it was just boring. And being bored is exhausting. Makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
So,
gosh, man.
So, you know.
I haven't been bored in... Right. A really long time.
Oh, it's the worst. Being bored at work is the worst. And I kind of put most of that on, and, you know, could have come back on my lap like, hey, I should have asked to do more. Well, yes and no, but I would not have seen any benefit from saying, hey, give me more work. There was no more money from this company. There was nowhere for me to go in the company. You know, they would have just given me more work and stressed me out. You know, so I took my lunch hour and a half. You know, I would do that. We would practice our work camp talks. I would work on site. I would do some site stuff at lunch, literally. You know, so that's what I did.
Yeah.
It took me that's why it took me so long to leave. It took me 3.5 years to build it up to where I could leave. So
my simple answer to the question.
Yeah.
The very short version, because I have a little deeper version. But if it has anything at all to do with your day job. Mm-hmm. You absolutely must make your employer aware and get their blessing.
Right.
I think to provide related services or competing products in secret would cross the line of ethics, as far as I'm concerned.
True, I agree.
That's a short consideration.
Yeah.
If it's unrelated, well, maybe disclosing isn't that important, maybe just a courtesy. The deeper question, really, that I would ask for someone considering what Ian asked, is a side project right for you?
Mm.
Think about this. Think about it. I think we all need to have a good handle on what we want our future to look like. Consider your day job and determine whether it is the right direction for you.
Mm-hmm.
If so, perhaps side projects will only distract you. Or maybe only pursue side projects which complement your main gig through, you know, learning and connections and reputation and so forth. Projects which teach you important things. But if that day job isn't right, if you look at your primary gig and you say, this is paying my bills, but it's not my future, this is something important because I see it all the time. Is a side project really the best way to get you on the right track? Because a side project could be enabling you to postpone more appropriate primary gigs. I can easily envision a situation where my day job is not what I want, and so I pick away at a side project for years in hopes that it takes off and replaces my primary gig. But instead, what I should do is pursue a more rewarding primary gig without delay. Mm-hmm. I should immediately be seeking a better job that is more fulfilling instead of trying to pick away at this little side project and hoping it takes off. It could take years. It might never take off. And I've spent all those years at a job that isn't fulfilling to me. Mm-hmm. So those side projects could be enabling you to postpone really pursuing the future you deserve.
100% agreement. The only difference is the chapter of life that they're in. Meaning, if they need to pay the rent, if they have children support or food bills, you sometimes have to stay somewhere, and that's the thing, you know, debt. This is, you know, not to get too deep in the woods, in the too deep here in the weeds, is debt limits your options. So try to live debt-free. Try to live within your means or below your means. Save, don't have a credit card, all those things, the Dave Ramsey kind of stuff. You know, I listened to some of that stuff. But, you know, I 100% agree with you. I really do. But situation, chapter of life, and where you are, not where you see people in the industry you want to be and where they are. You know, their chapter, their social media, that's them on the front. You don't know what they did in the back for years. You know, you don't. It's like that whole what's it called? The picture that we see of the iceberg, right? You see it a little bit on top, but you see all that stuff below the waterline. So, anyway,
yeah. That's true. Just keep that in mind and consider what you want to do with your future. And if you need something better than your primary gig, don't put all your faith in a potential venture that you just chip away at a little bit on the side and hope it frees you from your day job. That if your day job isn't right, you know, move on to a better day job.
Right. Okay. Well, I agree. That's a great answer. So
those are some good questions. And you know what? I want more questions.
More. We want more,
don't
people.
You?
Share.
We want more
share
questions.
Share this out there. Tell people we want questions. You know, and those Get Options podcast socks will be yours that have not yet ordered yet.
Yeah, definitely. That's our only request for you today is to send us some questions. We really want it. Maybe there's not something that's really pressing on your mind, but maybe you listen to this show and you say, I kind of would like to hear Adam and Kyle talk about such and such topic.
Right.
There's a lot of things that we don't mind running our mouths about. Yeah. So send us the topics that you'd like to hear us discuss, or maybe the burning questions that you're struggling with. Could be about life, could be about your school. It could be about your work. Could be about your pets.
Could be about time to wrap things up.
Good idea. You can follow us on Twitter at some Twitter handle, and I'm on Twitter probably too. You might find me if you look. And Adam is there as well, somewhere.
Yeah.
If you look for Adam, you'll probably find him. We have a website, getoptionspodcast.com. There you can submit your questions through our contact form or leave a voicemail. You can also just shoot an email to us directly, questions@getoptionspodcast.com. We promise we will read every single email in detail and we'll answer your questions on a future episode. Thank you.
Okay, nice. So where can people find you?
At Mr. Kyle Maurer on Twitter.
And I'm over at Hey Adam Silver, also at kitchensinkwp.com. And our Twitter handle, for the record, is @get_options.
Thank you.
Thank you. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.